Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Podcast. So talking of our cast, where are my two cast-offs? Firstly, a man that fishes for our facts by casting into a shoal of statistics. No doubt here again with a keep net brimming full of Ben Curry caveats. It's Samantha Sankey!
Hello, yes. Hello. More Ben Curry later in the episode.
Ooh, and also a man that knits this programme together with a ball of primrose and blue wool spun from his very own bullshit. Casting on again, it's Denise Waywell!
I'd just like to say I'm looking forward to this episode, especially because we've added some filler material, being that we've had a couple of games cancelled, so something to look forward to.
Postponed, Dennis. Postponed.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. And we've got potentially a prize to give away on one of the sections today, so something to look forward to there.
Excellent. I've just given my dog the biggest kangaroo bone you've ever seen in your entire life. It was the size of my leg. I should say we are recording tonight, Sydney time. This is the first time I think I've recorded at night in over a year. So it's it's nice to see you two boys. Have you started drinking? It's only lunchtime over there, lads.
No, not yet. It's probably the first time, Dennis, I've been sober for any episodes this year.
And awake.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to the match reviews. Well, we have pluralised that. It's actually going to be match review, isn't it? Because we had two games that didn't happen. We'll start with the first one. Warrington versus Hull was postponed following a number of positive COVID tests in the Hull squad. The fixture at the Halliwell Jones could yet be rearranged, along with us all finding out the moon is made of cheese. Dennis, first one of two. Postponements. Let's get this right, because obviously Hull are eager to play this fixture. Were you surprised when it was called off?
I was a bit surprised, I'll cover off some of this a bit later on about all the cancellations this year. And it's just unfortunate that we've seen a lot of cancellations, isn't it?
Were you going to the match, Sam? Was that one?
Yes, it was meant to be. And I think for me, it's the cancellations being so... Sorry, the postponements being so late. almost as if they're only testing on the morning, almost.
Well, I mean, Hull had more to lose than they had to gain. If they'd won, Hull would have gained 3.09%. And had they lost, they'd have lost 3.57%. I mean, I'm not saying it's tactical, but it's a funny little one to sort of cover, isn't it, in terms of what's going on here. I'm sure players are testing positive for COVID and we need to look after everyone's health and well-being, but it was one that Hull probably liked to sidestep more than actually play, because you'd have thought we'd have possibly been favourites.
Where are they in the table now?
They're not in the top six, but they're not too far away. They're a team that are still in concession. Yeah, they're in seventh. They're on exactly 50% percentage at the moment, but they could easily sneak in. But they are probably one of only eight teams now that can get in when it comes to the playoffs. So that was that. So we'll move on to the next game, and that was Wakefield away. Unfortunately for Sam, he actually went to the game. The team was Ratchford, Lyon and Mamo, Wrench, Charnley, Williams, Hill, Walker, Cooper, Curry, King and little Matt Davis. Interchange bench was Austin, Ashton, Akawala and Morgan Burgess was there to make his debut that never was. The final score was Warrington 22, but Wakefield, the home team, got 28. There were tries for Williams, Austin, Mamo and Charnley and Ratchford kicked three goals out of four. Before we go over to Sam, here's Daniel, who was also at the match, and here's his review of the game.
Well, it's 2 years in a row now that Warrington have lost away at Wakefield with a really disappointing performance. You know, the first half, errors, penalties, and then, you know, more Wakefield points in the second half. And it's not until the last 10-15 minutes that we really get going and actually got three tries in really quick succession. We just left ourselves too much to do, you know. We'll talk about scoring five tries in the second half. It's a big ask, that. It's a big ask. Team selection is a talking point today, in my opinion. We're obviously missing players, Daryl Clark and Jack Hughes, through suspension. and Philbin, Mulhern, Jason Clark, Doro, all suspected injuries, with Longstaff as well. Price made the decision to move Toby King from centre to second row. I think this badly backfired. We've seen him do this before. It happened against Huddersfield earlier this season, where King moved from centre to the second row and had a really poor game, and the rest of the team felt so disjointed. It's not good enough, really, for a coach to be making those decisions again that have let us down before. The bench, two backs on there in Blake Austin and Matty Ashton, a youngster in Morgan Burgess who never came on, and there was only Akawala in terms of a senior forward, Hill and Cooper, who played the vast majority of the game and gave it their everything as they always do. But I really feel for those two because we offer them no respite whatsoever. What's the point in putting Morgan Burgess on if you're not going to use him to be at the game and to see that standard of performance today? Because St Helens lost, Wigan have also been beaten, and this was a real chance to steal a march on those two and get a bit closer to St Helens, get a bit closer to Catalans. Really disappointing, not good enough. Too many errors, too many penalties, not enough playing the ball, not enough passing the ball, which is what we're good at. And it's telling that once we started doing that in the second half, we started scoring points. Steve Price is too negative a coach. We've got lots and lots of good, talented, creative players, but we don't use them. We insist on being negative, one-up rugby. When we throw the ball around, we're a really good team, and today proved that.
Well, the floor is yours, Mr. Sankey. The floor is yours.
It was a thoroughly depressing trip. I hate going to Wakefield at the best of times.
Why did you go?
And why? Because it was a Sunday afternoon. If we played more games on a Sunday afternoon, I'd go to more matches away. So it's old-fashioned rugby league, an old-fashioned rugby league ground. But if you remember our last episode when we were doing predictions, although I didn't predict a loss, I said I have a bad feeling about Wakefield. And then, of course, we had a particularly weak team. I'm going to give them some excuses. We had a particularly weak team, mainly due to COVID issues ourselves. Funny enough, we could have postponed that maybe, but we didn't.
You were wearing your green shitty top?
No, I wasn't, but they were. You don't like that green top. I should have worn it today, just because I know you hate it. I should have worn it today.
Listen, Sam,
we started.
One good thing that you did come out with the other week was the first try, Tom Johnson. I think you proved your point, because when I pressed you on that the other week, you were saying that, you know, he's fast and everything. I think we did see that, didn't we, on that first try? No one could catch him.
We did, and if anyone wanted to look back on those highlights again on Sky's little high player or whatever, you'll see that the best chaser for us, the fastest man chasing back.
Oh, he's going to say, I know who he's going to say.
Now.
Here he goes. He's got his poster up.
Did you notice? Well, outpaced Jake Mamo?
It was the angle, Sam. It was the angle. Made him look like he was. It's like when you watch the rowing at the Olympics, you think, oh, they're going really well in lane 8. And then they all get to the line and they're about four boats behind.
They're nowhere near.
It was a classic Ben Curry angle, that was, mate.
It was. A couple of things, because frankly, the first half was shit. Frankly. I think Daniel sums it up well. I actually looked for Daniel. I didn't see him, but we didn't really say meet under the clock wearing a carnation.
He did send a picture. He did send a picture of his location, which seemed to be some kind of like shitty bin and a brick wall. It gave no perspective of where he was at all.
That could have been anywhere in the Wakefield ground, that. Anyway.
Sam, I just want to touch on, after your first point, you mentioned Curry about his speed and everything. Could you explain Curry's defensive duties in the following two tries? The first one where he tried a lame leg tackle on Fifita. And then the third their third try, he was struggling to hold Fifita's again. And,
who's for Fifita's again? Who's for Fifita's?
It's on the menu.
Well, we'll come to the try in a minute. You're right. The first one, he didn't have a chance. We were busted from a break they'd made. You wouldn't have seen that from the highlights because they cut it, they edit it well. But the first one, he didn't have a chance. The second one was a complete, to use one of Rob's favourite words, clusterfuck, where several people dropped off tackles and they went from one end of the field to the other. But I just to reiterate, the first half, we had no shape. We had no go forward. The poor lad didn't get on the pitch to make his debut, but Akwala might as well have not played for the old 6 or 7 minutes he played. And it's a very strange thing to say, but only when Blake Austin came on did we actually get any go forward. And then much improved second half, but by then we were already too far behind. We scored some lovely tries in that last 20 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
It's no good waiting until you're 22-0 behind.
It was ridiculous at the end when they were scoring all those points. It was just like every time, it was like sevens rugby all of a sudden.
Yeah. But,
well, I was listening to it on the radio.
Did you not watch the game, Dennis?
There's nowhere to watch it.
It was on Asian TV. Should have just stuck your VPN on.
Well, I was going to ask you, but I knew you weren't going to be asked getting up out of bed. But from what I could tell from the commentators, it sounded to me that, and looking at that third try, that there's just no aggressiveness in the defence. It's just like, you know, pitter patter, putting their hands out, grabbing at shirts. What do you think, Rob?
First of all, I did actually get up and watch it, and I actually streamed the game through our What Bevan Facebook TV page. To which about 350 people watched it through. So always want to look out on there. Always go to the Facebook page on game day because What Bevan TV is always there. What did I make of it? It's always been the same, hasn't it? Warrington crossed the Pennines and we get a nosebleed. Oh, has someone got a delivery? What was that? Amazon at the door, Sam. What's happened
it
there?
It was Mrs. Sankey's little thing here on her office desk. I think it's picking up that the AI is picking up the fact that you've been live streaming games illegally. Probably just
vibrated a bit, did it, Sam?
It did. It probably just sent a message to Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh dear. Yeah, what did I make of it, boys? Well, as I said, they get a nosebleed when they cross the Pennines. It's always been the case. It's always been the case for the last 40 years. You can never pick Warrington, can you? So in some ways, I actually felt quite comforted by it, the fact that, you know, we'd sort of gone back to where we normally are. So didn't surprise me. Talk to me about Akwala, Sam. What's the point? Hey, what happens? I mean...
Yeah.
He played on the wing the other week for the entire game. Admittedly, he got cramp and couldn't walk. But 6 minutes. I mean,
I think it was a little bit more than that. I think it was being a little bit disingenuous. But in a game where we had no forwards, and therefore he was the third prop, he made seven tackles, of which he missed two of those, and he had seven carries of the rugby ball. Seven carries in a game where we're only using 16 players to start off with, and we've only got two recognised props. In the second half, and this is not me being big Ben Curry fan, this is just fact, Ben Curry went to prop, and Blake Austin was at loose forward. Toby King was already playing second row, and I think Ratchford... When Ashton came on, Ratchford went into the pack. So Akwala is sat on the bench and he would rather put two halfbacks in the pack than trust Akwala. So why even put him in the squad? Just don't even put... Either play 30 minutes or don't put him in the squad.
I imagine, Sam, you must have gone round and made your sort of thoughts known to Steve Price. Did you make your way around to the dugout? Could you just give us an example of some of the words you were using at that point?
Actually, I was very calm.
Really?
I was very calm.
You were driving, Sam?
I was driving, yes. I wasn't drinking.
Exactly, that's what it was, Dennis. That's what it is.
But actually, statistically, by the end, there were two very similar teams.
Both scored.
Wakefield weren't particularly good, but when you look at stats wise, the only real difference is both scored four tries. Warrington made more meters. Wakefield made more errors. Warrington gave away more penalties. But the big key is Wakefield made 32 tackle breaks to Warrington's 21. So that's where they
a lot of good tackling going on then, wasn't there? With 50 tackle breaks in a game of rugby league.
Yeah,
on a muddy pitch.
Exactly.
People were writing notes about Ashton's pace. I saw not being able to chase that guy down as well when Ratchford put that loose pass out. And
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's just a case of it's his first game back, isn't it, after a layoff?
Yeah, quite possibly. Hopefully, but quite possibly. Just he's fit, but it'll take him a couple of games just to get back into that. If they actually play any of these postponed games, sorry, cancel games, or are they postponed?
Cancelled or postponed? Which one is it, Cam?
Yeah.
Cancelled. Dennis, you've mentioned this before. You made a very good point, I think, on the podcast on numerous occasions about bringing young lads into the team and then he just sits them on the bench. We've seen it with Ellis Robson and now he's done it with this Morgan Burgess, who, I mean, he could have come on in the first half, couldn't he, for 5 minutes or something?
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine? You know, he's told his mum and dad he's playing, he's getting all hyped up. You know, there's even an article in the paper about him playing. How on earth does that motivate a young lad to say, well, you just weren't good enough to play today. We were losing, so I couldn't put you on. I don't get it at all.
I mean, I'm going to cover off what I think is at the bottom of this in Fails of the Unexpected. But what was his name again?
Morgan Burgess.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you're right. It's ridiculous that, you know, you've got the energy there. You've got somebody who's, you know, put another couple of minutes in on top of Akawala. So it's, you know, it's 15 minutes worth of energy in there altogether between.
And he's a prop. And he's a prop.
Yeah. Rob, I think you've hit the nail on the head there for me. He could. I can't remember the game. Specifically, but let's say Chris Hill has played 35 minutes. Chris Hill's played 35 minutes. You can, as you say, you can put Burgess on from minute 35 to half time just to give Hill a decent 15, 16, 17 minute break, 20 minute break over that half time period. But when you leave him until the 70th minute and the game's in the balance, then he's not going to throw the youngster on. It's the wrong way round. Put him on earlier, so that you can give your players a rest earlier, rather than get to the end when it's in the balance and you don't want to risk it.
Yeah,
I was when we got the last try. I just sort of looked at that and thought, what are we going to do without Mamo? What are we going to do without him? He's always there at these critical times, isn't he? He changes, like, you know, the mood and the influence of the game. And, like, you know, he put us in a position where we could have maybe, you know, done something at the end. But what are we going to do without
Mamo? Got some Mamo stats for you coming up later.
Have you got Matautia stats, Sam? Are you going to touch on those at all?
I've got Matautia and Mamo.
All right. Yeah. Steve Price, he said, we had a couple of disruptions, a couple of injuries, COVID situations, but that's no excuse. We had a good team out there today. You get your winning actions from your strong defence. You live on that, and then it snowballs into offence. I was really proud of them keep believing and still giving themselves a chance at the end of the game. There was no signs going into the game. Of how it would start out. I thought we played really good football for 35 minutes, but that first half was totally unacceptable. I'm not taking anything away from Wakefield, who I thought were good today. Steve Price, he didn't see it coming again, Dennis.
No, I know. Well, Daniel mentions it a couple of times, doesn't he? I mean, one, he points out the team selection and having Toby King in the second row, which ends up being a bit of a mess and nobody knowing where they are. And I think I didn't know how many times he said this, but he not good enough, and too negative from Steve Price. That's Daniel's assumption, and I don't know. It does seem to go along, don't we? Where, you know, for a few weeks it looks like, you know, he's picked a good balanced side, and then all of a sudden he throws this in, and it's like, what's going on?
He couldn't do. I'm going to stick up for him. Not on that first half, because it's his responsibility to make sure that they're on it from the first whistle. I mean, it's the players' responsibility themselves as well, of course, but he's the boss. So if they come out lethargic, then some responsibility goes on his shoulders. But in terms of team selection, Mulhern wasn't available, Philbin wasn't available, Doro wasn't available, Longstaff wasn't available.
Where's Ellis Robson?
Robson's out on loan.
Where's Butler?
Call him back.
Butler's out on loan.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Call him back.
Now, hang on. I agree there, Dennis.
Ellis, you're wanted.
I'm only going to go on the bench again.
You'll play, I promise.
Sorry.
But four of them lads were COVID-related. And so it would have been late on in the preparation leading up. Mm. So too late to recall people, I suspect. So when it comes down to picking a team, he did have his hands tied this week.
It's a soft
team. But he could have still played Akwala for a good 30 minutes rather than the 4.5 he did.
It's a soft team. You can't win in Yorkshire with a soft team. He's got a soft team there, looking down through that line. Mamo, Wrench, Charnley. And you look at that second row, you know, Curry's not a dirty player. And King...
No, he's not, is he?
And King and Davis. We've spoken about, you know, Davis. I mean, they're calling him the axe, but I think he's more like an ice pick, isn't he? Sort of a bit small. Those little ones you get with your gin and tonic. But King...
I like him.
King, you know, you look at people that have moved into the second row over the years. You know, think back, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Paul Cullen, but when he went into the second row, he's a tough, hard bastard. You got Ben Westwood, who started off in the centre at Wakefield, who ended up in the second row, was another tough, hard bastard.
Yeah.
King's not a second rower. He's not tough enough to be a second rower.
I know what you mean, and I don't think you're being disrespectful there. He is a player with some skill and ability to make a break or put a man through a gap. That's not the core job of a second rower, is it?
Well, not when you've got Curry next to him. You can't have two pretty boys in your second row.
Yeah, I understand that.
So we're putting this at Steve Price's door. Would you offer him a job,
no,
Rob?
Well, he's been offered a job, hasn't he? Because he's going to be back carrying the water bottle at Cronulla next season. So we'll wait and see what happens there. I mean, the NRL's in a bit of a mess at the moment in terms of how it's all going to pan out. I mean, they had the New Zealand Warriors based on the Central Coast, found them all homes and put them on the Central Coast. Now they've moved them up to Brisbane. The bubble's been shut for them to get back to New Zealand. They're not going to get home. They're all going to end up just... you know, locked down in Brisbane until the start of next year. I mean, I've not watched any NRL since my holiday. It's been about 8 weeks, and I've just turned it on tonight and watched about 5 minutes of the Bulldogs. And I said to Mrs. London, I said, where are they playing this? Are they playing this in Sydney? Where are they? Have they moved all the teams to Brisbane?
They've moved everyone. Everyone's relocated to Queensland.
See, there's Dennis with his Delamere Forest idea last week. Put them all in. Just not good enough, is it? Right, well, with this fact we've not got that many games this week, I'm going to read out a few of the tweets and messages we've had in. We always get a good tweet from Wazza. He said he's been watching Warrington for 35 years and nothing has changed. No surprise, hopefully our culture will change under Powell. However, I won't hold my breath. Yeah, I think that kind of sums up what we've already said, isn't it? We do struggle when we go to Yorkshire at times, come out with these bizarre results, Leeds last year. I think we've been to Cass and not turned up. Wakefield more than once, Sam. You've been to Wakefield a few times, haven't you, and seen this
two
happen?
Years in a row. 2 years in a row.
How does this one compare with that loss at Huddersfield that time you went in the pissing rain at the start of the season? Which one would you say
was the Huddersfield game was worse.
Really?
Because we had a full team out that night and it was early in the season. This one, although I'm laying it at the players' door, that they had a shite first half. At least we saw 25 minutes of good rugby. Mm.
I was watching the game on What Bevan Facebook TV, and then I've treated myself this week. With us being in lockdown here, I thought, you know what? It's half price at the moment, and get every Premiership football game on Optus Sports for half price. So I paid my subscription, and I'm watching the Warrington Wakefield game. It's like something out of Angela's Ashes, or you know, it was just depressing. And then all of a sudden, I turn over to Manchester City versus Tottenham. My, what a spectacle. I mean, you can say what you want about football. You know, it can be boring and everything else, but they've crammed them in a beautiful stadium with an atmosphere. There's colour, it's vibrant, there's noise. Super League.
You've got a bit of a muddy field at Wakefield with some porter cabins.
How was the blue ice cream?
Blue ice cream was wonderful. I still not got a bleeding clue what flavour it was, but it was very blue.
Oh.
It kept me awake all night. I had that many E numbers in my system. I was bouncing around. You know, I think that's the way forward. Forget the alcohol. More blue ice cream.
Oh, gone from blue drinks to blue ice.
Mrs. Sankey will be sending you there more often.
Douglas Hammond only had three props. Blake played 60 minutes at loose forward, and he's a halfback. Ben Curry having to prop. Stephen Ratchford having to play second row. Given how underpowered we were, not a bad effort against all their big boppers. They do have some big boppers at Wakefield, don't they? Do you think they were more motivated with Chester disappearing?
They always say that, don't they, when somebody leaves, that they get a bit of a boost and that thing. I think they would have been. I think, you know, you could imagine them saying, right, okay, just go out there this week and enjoy yourselves, show us what you can do, and then we can start talking about, you know, who's going to be in the team, etc. And I think you did see that.
But even the way we invited them into the game in the first half by not being up for it and gives them a bit of belief and momentum. I don't expect Wakefield to do much else. They do say even a dead cat bounces, don't it? So yeah. they'll be back to normal next week.
Sam, we've got about 1.2% of our listeners' demographic are cat lovers, and you've just come out with that line. Jesus. We put a poll out there to see what everyone thought. What did you make of Warrington's performance at Wakefield Trinity? We gave four options. Same old wire. Poor team selection. Didn't see it coming and will bounce back. 13%. Thought we'd bounce back. 8.2%. They didn't see it coming. Poor team selection was 28%. But the overall winner easily was it was the same old wire on 50%. Oh, dear. Right, well, let's move on to another game, boys, that again was postponed. And that was Catalans. Warrington and Catalans was postponed too, as four of the Dragons' essential staff tested positive for coronavirus. The news came 7 hours before the scheduled kickoff, as three cases were discovered shortly before the French side were expected to fly to England. Warrington say the match tickets remain valid in the fixture if it's rearranged, or you can transfer them over to the next home game against St Helens. This one came really late, didn't it? Really late. We got the call from Madam Boyd about 24 hours before, Dennis, and I thought, we're not going to put that up. It can't be true. But lo and behold, it was.
Yeah, it was a bit ridiculous. I'm going to cover a bit of this in one of my sections later.
Covering a lot in your section, aren't you?
I know, honestly, really I've got all sorts going on.
Ram it in.
You know, I'll tell you one thing about all this, is that I had to jump in there quick and get a ticket because I was quite conscious of the fact that we've got the rollover tickets from Hull, the rollover tickets from Catalan, and I was thinking, oh, I better get a ticket here because there might not be any room in the Halliwell, Jones. So that's why I've got a ticket, Sam, straight away. So looking forward to next week or whenever it is.
Where are you going, lads? Where are you meeting up? Where are you meeting up?
I don't know,
yeah. Lee was very disappointed. Lee was over from Dubai. He's been halfway around Europe, and he turned up, and he was keen to meet up with Sam. He was going to have a drink with him outside the Lord Rodney, so he's disappointed. But he is going to the game at Huddersfield, the poor lad. So,
all right, okay.
Good luck.
Might make a trip there myself.
Catalans again had more to lose than they had to gain. If they'd won the game, they'd have gained 0.58%. on their percentages. Had they lost, they'd have lost 4.67%. And also, of course, $30,000 for a chartered flight back and to France. Couldn't have another reason why they didn't go. Wazza has come in again. He says, I'm still scratching my head on how Dragons officials can get this postponed. Four staff members, ? Surely this goes into the protocol. It isn't seven positive results from players. If it's the coaching staff, haven't they embraced technology? Zoom, Teams, Friends Reunite, Grindr. You know, I mean, where do we stand on this, Sam? What's the rules on this?
Wazza's right, but I don't think it's quite as reported. I think it's four people have tested positive, and they were therefore close contacts of others, so others will have had to isolate, taking the number over 7.
But am I right to say that you guys are not isolating at all over there now if you come into contact with someone? I mean, what's the ruling now? If you know,
supposedly if you're double vaccinated and you come into close contact, I'm pretty sure you do not have to isolate, but you are meant to test yourself regularly with right. lateral flow.
So it's a bit of a higgledy-piggledy situation, this, isn't it? Whether you come or you don't. But there was clear. I mean, again, I wonder if Catalans had needed the points, we might have seen them push a little bit harder to get to this fixture. I don't know. It's a tricky one to know, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't have to. If you've got 7 people missing, you don't have to cancel the game. You can still play the game.
Oh, really?
Using some of your account. You can. Well, Warrington did last year, didn't they? Salford, if you remember, and basically played the academy.
Yeah, got you. Okay. Baz on deck. Not one football match in the league has been cancelled, as far as I can see, since the season's kicked off. What the fuck is going on with rugby league? Interesting, isn't it? I mean, oof, don't know how to go with that one. Dan Lewis, it's a job that the World Cup is cancelled this year. The league would still be running, with the grand final being played on New Year's Day after the curtain raiser for Manchester United's game. I mean, we've spoke about the season possibly being extended. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, clearly the 6 top teams, when the season does finish, are not one are going to play any more games. They're going to say, that's it, we'll stick, thank you very much. But you might get teams like Hull, who are going to try and say, well, we want to play Warrington now. We want to get over there because we're outside the top 6.
Fucking well, you meant to, supposedly, it'll be interesting whether they do. Hold true to
Dennis
this.
Has lost Dennis has cracked. Super League has cracked Dennis at this. Look at him, he's gone.
Oh, God.
Are you going to cover this off?
I am. I'm going to cover this off a bit later.
Okay. Shall we move on, Mr. London?
Yeah, why not? In better news, on the same evening of the postponed fixture, over 300 hot meals were served to children who were eligible for free school meals and who had participated on the Warrington Foundation summer holiday camps, which was fantastic. Did you get yourself down there, Sam? Did you manage to sneak in a meal? Put on your
no, unfortunately, put on your little, all the food had gone by the time I realised it was a freebie available.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite for 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Well, I've taken a request this week. I've taken a request. It came in via Rob London from Mr. London Senior. He wanted to know whether Metautia was a penalty machine and whether Olivier Holmes was as good as he thinks he is. So I had a look at the numbers of Castleford. And I actually had a look at our new incoming coach as well. So would you like me to start with him?
Yes, why not?
I think, by and large, the Warrington fans are very pleased that Darryl Powell is coming in. I think the biggest criticism levied against Stevie is that his style of play is dull. I think that would be fair to say. But Stevie's win record with Warrington is 63%, or if you convert it into points percentage, it's 64%. And since the start of 2020, it's 63.75%. Whereas Dazza, as I'm starting that now, Dazza rather than Stevie, our incoming coach, his numbers at Castleford do have fewer facilities and less money than we do. But his time at Castleford is 56.5%.
That's good, isn't
win
it?
Percentage.
That's good based on the money and what he's got to work with. And he's
but
you know, shit
since
Castleford.
The start of last year, 44%. Anyway, on to Olivia Holmes, who is age 29. He's played 220 games.
Can I just say at this point,
tries.
I've been watching the wrong player for about the last 2 years. I thought he was the bald bloke. Who's that other one that plays in the second row that's bald? I thought it was him.
He is. It's shortish hair anyway.
But he's not bald, is he?
No, he's a short hair.
I've been watching.
Anyway, this season, I thought I'd do a direct comparison with Ben Curry.
No, of course you did. No, of course you fucking did.
What's happened to
Jesus.
Mamo and Matautia? What
Hang
happened
on,
to
we'll come to him. We'll come to Jake. Right. So, Holmes has played 11 games for Castleford this year. Curry, 14 for Warrington. Hughes, 13 games for Warrington. Tries scored. Curry, 8. Holmes, 4. Hughes, 1. It's a start. Tackles, missed tackles. Holmes, most missed tackles in fewer games, 28.
We'll put some dance music behind this, Dennis, to beat it up a bit. Yeah, give some vibe to it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Ben Curry, fewest missed tackles. Tackle busts, though. Holmes makes more tackle breaks than the other two, but gives away.
Yeah.
But gives away more penalties. Oh. And Ben Curry does most offloads. What it was interesting for me to see, is Holmes sits right in statistics, right in between Ben Curry and Jack Hughes. Yeah. Statistically, a better player than Jack Hughes. Yeah. Statistically, not as good as Ben Curry. Yeah. So, could be an improvement for us. Could be Holmes and Curry in the second row as the mainstays. Now, if we move on to Jake Mamo against Peter Matautia, this is just how it's happened. Matautia wasn't coming in to replace Mamo, but with Matautia coming in, Jake's decided his future lies elsewhere because he wants to play first team more often, doesn't he? Mamo's played 15 games this season to Matautia's 9. Mamo's scored 12 tries, Matautia 2. They've both done the same number of try assists, but Matautia breaks more tackles. In those 9 games, he's broken 52 tackles.
Yeah, but gets tackled a few metres later.
Yeah, because he's
possibly
slow.
Possibly. Yeah. Jake's broke 67 tackles, but in significantly more games. And Jake makes more yards per average. But the question came, is Matautia a penalty machine? And actually, he has ended up in the sin bin twice this year, whereas Jake's only ended up in the sin bin once. And he has conceded 3 more penalties in fewer games than Jake Mamo has. So again, for the good play he's doing going forward, he's costing his team in yardage by giving away those penalties.
If these were rugby league player cards and with those stats and probably a couple
top
of them bits and pieces.
Like top trumps, yes.
Yeah. So speed, Mamo, boom, gone, won.
Yeah, exactly. Game breakers, you know, this, that and the other, extra point star
looks,
player.
Looks,
yeah, personality
legs.
As well. Yeah, his
bottom.
Hair. I like his hair. He had long hair at one time.
Torso.
But I think I'd be picking Mamo out of the two.
Neck.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite the same style of player. But again, statistically,
groin.
This year, Jake's got better numbers.
Yeah.
But again, it's another section that just goes to show that doesn't matter where we talk about Jake Mamo, Peter Matautia, Olivier Holmes, Ben Curry is still a very, very good player.
Cut that bit out, Rob, at the end.
Rumours! Everybody needs good rumours! understanding, you can find your perfect blend. Come on, Stevie, join in, lad.
Rumours should be there for one another. That's when good rumours become good friends.
Jesus, I'm going to have to sing this at Lee as well. Christ.
Well, it's rumours, guys. I have nothing whatsoever, apart from we're getting closer to signing that Melbourne prop. Have we got anything, boys? Sam, have you got anything else to add to the Melbourne Storm prop coming in?
Not on the Melbourne Storm prop. I think you would be better placed to find out if you could get in your car and drive to Melbourne and actually go and speak to him, but you can't, can you, because you're locked down.
Oh, that's harsh. That's very harsh.
Fancy the thing for me... can you drive to Melbourne? I mean, how long is that going to take you?
3 days.
The thing that the rumour that seems to be going around that is concerning me about yet another restructure of rugby league and two divisions of 10.
Have you heard this in the pub last night, Sam? Did you hear this in the pub last night for a certain person?
No.
Can we mention you were drinking in the pub with last night? Can we say
I wasn't drinking in the pub bumped into.
Oh, did you know? Right, fair enough.
Bumped into. Mr. Lomax and Mr. Clark.
Yeah, that was all.
That's
right. Very good.
But I wasn't with them at all. But it's worrying me.
Did you go home with?
No, I didn't. Okay. We're going smaller and smaller again as a sport. If we go to a top division of 10, I suspect that means you'll be playing each team 3 times. And I'm already sick of playing Wigan every third week. I don't want to play Wigan every second week and in the cup and possibly in the playoffs. It's just nonsense. We should be looking bigger, not smaller all the time.
Private investment, that's what we need. We need some money coming into the sport. That's what we need, boys. Big investment of money. Let them take the reins.
But who's going to invest in a sport like ours that doesn't have a clue what it's doing from week to week?
Well, let's be honest. The presentation by Sky Sports and having them fucking numpties commentating. I mean, I was listening to it again last night.
Absolutely dog shit.
God, it's awful. Absolutely awful. I wouldn't want to invest my money listening to that shit.
If you think back when we used to go out in Warrington on a Friday night, Dennis, we used to meet in the Marcus of Granby and we used to watch the game, didn't we, every week? Yeah. And it was Steve-O and Hemmings. Yeah. And it was good. It was pacey. And, you know, you didn't have to agree with Steve-O, but he was articulate. He came across. He made good points. Fucking shut up, Barry and Terry. Every two seconds they're talking. Shut up.
Yeah. Because it is, again, Rob, be careful what you wish for. Because so many people were saying, ooh, I'm getting a bit fed up with Steve-O. And now he looks like bloody gold compared to them two, doesn't he?
You also had Hemmings, who was a proper journalist. You know, he'd grown his way into the game. He'd worked on the local papers, etc., worked his way up. It's just a higgledy-piggledy mess at the moment that they've got on. It's just it infuriates people. I don't understand anyone who watches it. I don't meet anyone who watches it that says this is great. We just all take the piss the whole time. It's
the other rumour was that they were going to merge some of the sides or something. I heard that said. I think that was the whole boss or something was saying that maybe we should look at mergers again and things. I mean, what sort of mergers do you think we could accommodate? Warrington Widnes?
They wouldn't. People won't wear it, though, will they? People won't wear it.
Well, they might have
some to. Some will, but it'll be the minority that would wear that.
Anyway, listen, I've got another rumour. Rumour has it Chris Hill's new gin venture, Three Pugs Gin, has a secret botanical to boost one's sex drive. This limited edition testimonial gin, 42%, has been described by Chris as... a resurrection of youthful performance and propping up activities between the sheets. Leader of the pack, Chris Very Hill, good. Was asked if his teammates have indulged in the gin aphrodisiac. Chris said, "We've all had a boost in performance, so much so that we arranged a gin-themed gangbang with a hooker." Unfortunately, Danny Walker wasn't available for comment.
I did hear about Chris Hill the other day that
this in the pub with Lomax last night, was it?
No. Do you know when you wish you'd never mentioned something?
You mentioned it the minute you got home. You were pissed and you WhatsApped me straight away.
Guess what happened in your pub with?
Oh, here we go. Midnight.
I've heard from someone that is usually right on these things that we all think Chris Hill is going to potentially sign for another year, but that the deal is already signed with Huddersfield. So it might be one to watch.
It's a coincidence coming up with that, isn't it, after last night? It's amazing.
It's no to do with last night. But would you have Luke Thompson if he deemed to come back?
We're going to pay 1.4 million, are we, for him for 2 years?
Yeah. Would you forget the money. Would you have him if he was available?
Of course I would.
Warrington Captain Jack Hughes is to star in the new series of Channel 4's show, Hunted. Following Hughes' recent performances at The Wire, the producers believe he is the perfect candidate to blend into the background and win the show. Bookmakers too have installed Jack as firm favourite, with longer odds on fellow contestants, the Scarlet Pimpernel, the Invisible Man and the Loch Ness Monster. In breaking with tradition, the 2022 Challenge Cup final will be played at Tottenham Hotspur. It is believed Spurs legends Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Velia will lead out the two teams. Ardiles said, "It has been 40 years since the Falklands War and the sinking of the Belgrano, so it seems only fitting, as British Rugby League sinks, we're there to mark the occasion." And finally, Chris Hill is to be backed in his testimonial year by local gin makers Three Pugs Gin. It is believed the secret aging process starts by bashing the wasted product into an unrecognisable mush before straining it through an old bag and storing the translucent product in a darkened room. But unlike Chris Hill, Three Pugs Gin are withholding their recipe.
Well, there's the headlines. Let's move on to the stories. The Challenge Cup final is moving for 1 year only to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Sam, are you going to get yourself down there for the final, eh?
Yes, I will, actually. Yeah, already had a couple of chats up here, and I'd love to go and see. You mentioned it earlier. It's the premier stadium in Britain at the moment.
Do you want some facts on it? I'll give you some facts if you like, boys. The pitch is the same size as Wembley, but it can retract into three separate sections and be replaced with a second AstroTurf pitch within 25 minutes for NFL.
I didn't know it was that quick, but yeah, for the NFL, yes.
That's not manual, is it? That's on a button, Dennis. You're in engineering. Would that be someone on a crank? How would that be working?
You know, like when you see a roll of carpet being delivered and a couple of blokes just kick it out. I think it's going to be like that.
So it's not bull. It's not bull. The stadium provides the players with individual hydro baths, warm up and warm down individual areas. Plus, there's a creche for the families. So Philbin will be all right, won't he, if we get to the final? He'll have his little baby in there and Clark, etc. So we should think of some of these things. Here's one for you, Dennis. You like this? The South Stand is home to the Goal Line Bar, which is 65 metres in length. It's the longest bar in Europe. It boasts 70 food and drink outlets. It has an in-house bakery and the world's first stadium microbrewery, which can produce 1 million pints of craft beer a year and delivers 10,000 pints a minute on game day.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that. If you remember, one of my tackle bag ideas was using the beer being pumped directly from the urinals. So,
is that South Stand? Is that the one that's the biggest single-tiered football stand in the country?
Well, it's still made up of four stands, isn't it? It's a bit of it's not a full stadium. It's four buildings inside, and then they sort of wrap it round. So they've kind of cheated the way they've done it. How many pints would they serve in the Causeway in an hour before the game day? About six or seven?
Oh, yeah. It depended who was on, wasn't it? Sometimes you could be... It's the only place you've actually got you to have your money out, actually wave your money, I want to give you money. And they're like, yeah, 2 minutes...
It was only fair to let the players go first, Sam.
I mean, the worrying thing is, Sam, if you do go to this cup final with Dennis, I mean, Dennis has never been keen to get to the bar first, but 10,000 pints a minute, he's got no chance. He's gonna be served, isn't he, before he knows it. So I'm like, oh, it's kick-off time, I didn't get the drinks in.
Probably be about £8 a pint as well, won't they?
It's those glasses that just whack down on, and the beer comes from up underneath, yes. Doesn't it? Sort of shoots
Headingley,
up. Headingley
got some of them.
Have they? Mm. The fans can enjoy more Wi-Fi access points and Bluetooth beacons, as well as a greater bandwidth than any stadium in the world. So your Nokia phone, Sam, that should be all right. Should be able to get a signal last.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to. It's the biggest club shop in the world, a listed building museum embraced within the stadium, and there's an art gallery. You're quite arty, Dennis. You could get into that. It also boasts a Michelin star restaurant that allows its diners to observe the players as they walk from the dressing room to the pitch through a glass-walled tunnel. Jesus.
It's a one-way glass, though, isn't it? They can't see in.
You imagine that, can't you? I've taken Mrs. London for a nice meal at a Michelin star restaurant against a glass tunnel. You know, she's finishing a dessert, a strawberry peppermint jelly and ginger sherbet sorbet with a burnt pineapple and coconut parfait and a smoked lychee caramel crumble on glaze. And fucking Tom Lynham walks past scratching his bollocks. It's not going to really work, is it?
A reminder of the first course.
You're actually saying that Wakefield are going to get to the final next year, are you?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Right, Warrington have confirmed Blake Austin will leave the club at the end of the season to join Leeds Rhinos. The 30-year-old has played over 60 games for the Wyatt. Leeds coach Richard Agar said, "Throughout our discussions about our vision for his role within the squad, I have been impressed with his ambition and willingness to play his part for the team, and I am looking forward to seeing him in our environment." What do you think Leeds are in store for, Sam? Good game, bad game, good game.
Exactly. Yeah, it was almost. You could do that. Do that in a more of a Bruce Forsyth.
Good game, voice. good game. Nice to see you. To see you. Nice.
I'm excited to see them both go. I want to see a refreshed squad. I want to see something new.
Yes.
You know, so I think it's good. Anyways, two players depart, one player arrives, as Wyatt have signed 24-year-old prop James Harrison from Featherstone Rovers on a two-year deal from 2022. Harrison said, "I've always wanted to be a Super League player. To get the chance at a club like Warrington is a dream come true. I definitely feel I'm ready, and the time is right to make this step up in my career. I consider myself a really hard-working player, and you'll like this, boys. I back myself to play big minutes." Okay. Now, a bit of breaking news here, Sam. Come on, give us the breaking news. And it is literally breaking, isn't it?
Well, I have been told, and I do not know the extent that he's done his knee in. But I do not know. I don't know whether that is a suspected problem, whether it's a few weeks or whether it's longer than that. But
so we're not sure if it's ACL or if it's just a twisted
MCL
knee.
MCL or just, So fingers crossed for a better outcome.
Warrington, I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Fee bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
Right, I've had a little letter in from someone who's referring to himself as Sam Wankey's Supporters Club. So obviously one of yours, Sam, wrote in to ask the podcast team to come up with words and terms to play the Steve Price bullshit bingo. He wants to know, for next week's post-match interview against Saints, could we come up with three bullshit bingo words that for Steve Price? He's got three to start us off. We've got resilience. He's obviously got the key one in there. Must be bonus points for that. Players group and quality team. So let's put it out there. He wants to get three each. So let's start with you, Rob. Where do you want to go?
Can I do past and present tense? We'll have a few duns rather than dids.
I was going to do that.
Definitely a few duns rather than dids.
Okay.
Can I have a visual one? Where he looks away from the camera. Have you ever noticed that? When he's having a conversation, he gets a bit pressurised. He looks to his side. So I'll have
not
that
like Tony Smith, though, where he's completely never looking all over the show.
Tony Smith has never looked anyone in the eye, I don't think, in his life.
We watched the post-match interviews just for Tony Smith because it's so hilarious. He's got eye contact, must be for about 3 seconds out of 3 minutes.
The only one who comes close was it the manager of QPR? Was it Francis someone? He used to put his head back in two. He used to do that a bit, didn't he? I can't remember that. There's two. You have a think, Sam. Can you think of any others? Because I'm struggling now.
I was going to go on the same thing. Was instead of were and come instead of came. But is the next game on Sky? Because if the next game's on Sky, there'll certainly be, at the end of the interview, cheers, Jenna. That's how he always finishes. Cheers, Jenna.
Oh, does he? And then he walks off. Yeah.
Then he walks off.
Unacceptable. 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 Yes, he always comes out with that one.
Quality
football team.
He seems to have gone away from resilient these days, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, I know. That's why it's in there. It's his main one. But I've got execution. Always says execution in every one. Yes. Yeah. And really good footy.
Yeah, not he does
that. Do that. So we've got about 10 there. So anyway,
look forward to
if you send us some more of your Steve Price bullshit bingo words, we'll see if we get a winner next week. And the prize is a 3-hour statistical masterclass from Sam. We just need to make sure that all entrants have got access to Microsoft Excel Zoom, and plenty of wine.
Yes. Excellent. Oh, looking for. Can I enter? Am I allowed to? Oh, is that? No?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Okay. John Wokes. I mean, this sort of leads back into what we're saying about the bar being a bit busy. He emails to say, I know this is a free bar, but surely there'd be bouncers on the door. Which two Warrington players, past or present, would you choose as doormen? Tricky one, isn't it? I've got a bit of a list.
Bob Jackson.
Yeah, he's too nice, Bob, isn't he? Or are you pointing someone on who can speak to the public? Is that what you're doing there, Sam? Yeah. Well, I thought Alan Rathbone, he'd be a good one. Or, yeah. I think Carl Webb did a bit of bouncing in Warrington as well. And Kevin Tamati was the heavyweight champion in New Zealand. Bruce Maguire, he used to like to throw a punch.
Oh, yeah. He looked mean as well, didn't he?
Roland Phillips did it as well, didn't he? I'm sure he was a bouncer somewhere.
I can remember being in Times Square with Roland Phillips, and Wooly had a big conversation with him about don't turn your back, run with the ball. And Roland Phillips was that lovely. He listened to every word he said about it. He must be thinking, fucking idiot, piss off. But he didn't. It was nice. Boyd and Morley, I think they'd be a good pair.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I'm going for, there's only two for me, Steve Roach and Les Davidson. I think you put those two on this door. No one's coming in. No one's coming in there. So another one, moving on from John Wokes. We've also had Valerie Mingleton. She's a direct message to say, I'm a retired civil engineer and a lifetime Wire fan. Regarding Sam's bay window, I hope he didn't just drill the supportive rotten beam and insert filler before placing a flimsy bit of decorative board over the top and painting. A house built in the 1920s should have a beam replaced immediately. It's only a matter of time before the beam collapses. So you clearly replaced the beam there, Sam, didn't you?
That's exactly what I did. It was very heavy. I got the props out and all that type of stuff, yeah.
Peter Perverse, he's questioned. Now the flying pig is leaving.
We've got a bit of a theme going here, have we?
Don't think so. Now the Flying Pig is leaving Warrington. What's your favourite type of sausage? We put this one out as a vote. It got 152 votes. We had pork, beef, vegan and chicken. Andy Bibby wrote in to say he couldn't vote as it was rigged. There was no tomato sausage. He was out. To which also Drew wrote the same. Andy Sinclair and Catherine Hamilton all wanted tomato sausage. The winner was pork, 75%. 3 out of 4 people like a pork sausage. Beef only got 9.2. Bit disappointing. Vegan down on 7.9. I was hoping for more. And chicken, 7.2 as well. Dennis, yeah. What's your favourite sausage? Just keeping it raw. Don't put any fennel shit in or anything.
Black pudding. Pork and black pudding.
Is that a sausage? Just said don't put anything in apart from what the sausage was, and you'd already sticking black pudding.
Yeah, no, I thought you meant arty farty shite.
Justin Holcraft, dear WWBBS, I'm a sad bastard living to your. I'm the sad bastard listening to your pile of podcast in South Africa. Presuming I'm the only one because this country doesn't even know what league exists. Regarding monetizing the podcast, great idea. I would consider being paid to listen for the hour and a half each week I never get back. I will, however, be fucking your stats up completely in the next 2 months by moving from Johannesburg to somewhere in the northwest of England. Well, all I can say, Justin, is a shanty town shithole riddled with corruption, crime, a lack of education and limited sanitation, all in a place where you can buy a house for the price of a bag of chips, must be pretty depressing. Anyway, that's enough about the northwest of England. Let's hope you stay over there in Johannesburg.
But Sam, you can meet up with him, Sam, if he does come, can't you?
Only if he's living south of the river.
Yeah. Email from Chris Roberts, entitled Banal Question. Is it me, or have Sky purposefully omitted our badge from the opening credits of the live games? Every other team seems to be there, but not us. Not desperate enough to slow it down and check, screen by screen, but I'm still checking in real time, but I'm sure we have been left off. Thanks in advance and keep up the great work, even though I expect you three don't give much notice or positive well wishes and just carry on regardless. Sam, I think that's one for you, isn't it? That's stats related,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'll do that. I'll write that down.
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling that that's a miss on purpose, that these teams are going to be reduced to 10. These are the missing teams, maybe.
Pretty good. Gareth Monkey, friend of the show, he wants to know, has Matty Ashton lost a yard or two of pace? When we sort of touched on this already, haven't we? So I looked into a yard. There was a bloke living in Kenya called Eddie Hemwings, whose penis was bitten by a mosquito and his bell end grew to a yard in size.
Excellent. Where's that? Can you still fly there?
The Wat Bevan Olympics, we had the final. Remember, we had 4 guys in the final. Hill, Mamo, Widdop and Clark. Bronze went to Mamo. Silver went to Daryl Clark. But this year's winner of the best player so far in 2021 by a clear margin was Gareth Widdop with the gold. You agree with that, Sam? Would you have given Widdop the gold?
Based on everything up until his comeback, yes, from injury. We hope he hits the ground running, so to speak. Now he's back fit.
Okay, it's time to set sail.
Well, normally I'd be thankful that the BBC programming is returning to normal after the Olympics. However, unfortunately, we now sadly have to return to that dreadful mutiny on the HJ. My favourite sport at the recent events in Tokyo has to be the rhythmic gymnastics. I was a gymnast back in my day, wouldn't you know? Although now the extent of my flexibility is unstacking the dishwasher and performing cowgirl once a year on my husband's birthday.
Oh, gee, Ralphie, I don't like we're sailing so close to the Australian shoreline. We've entered inside the NRL exclusion zone.
Oh, nuts and Stevie. Just because of the recent hostility towards the World Cup fiasco, we come in peace. What this standoff needed all along was a bit of my RFL intoning a national diplomacy. Oh, look, Stevie. They're sending out the NRL battleship Frigid to meet us.
Oh, would you dead set look at that, Rolfie? They're raising their gun turrets. They must be wiving to us.
Ahoy, Crow's Nest. Lord Horatio, Professor Broomhead, what is it that thy sees on the horizon?
Oh, struth, Rolfie. How the hell did you get the Professor up there?
Well, that was easy. Lieutenant Surplus to Requirement Breyers rounded up the players' crew, and 7 hours later, they'd winched the Professor up to the top. Fortunately, the Crow's Nest is made out of British Standard 2-inch twin-gauge checker plate reinforced titanium steel, and it's held together with a resilient Carney and Clark Super Wank glue. I believe it's thicker than Sky Sports' Barry and Terry.
Broomhead here, reporting from the Crow's Nest. Let me inform you, gentlemen, that's a torpedo. Dead set ahead.
Stone the crows, Rolfie. I didn't see that coming.
Oh, quick, Stevie. It's heading to our right edge. What is your defensive strategy? What are you going to do?
Muster Hill, round up crew memberless Charlie. Have him step up out of the loin.
Oh, yes. This is so well drilled, Stevie. We'll make a rear admiral out of you in no time. What do you say, Master Hill?
You are Admiral Rimmer. Do you want me to put memberless Charlie over there with the brass monkey?
Well, that's no way to talk about Stevie. Stevie, have Mamo of the Ammo supply the players' crew cannons immediately. This is going to be a rugby league war. I'll just be over here. I'll be finishing my game of deck crown green bowls first. Oh, and if you could just hide Georgina Williams in that barrel of rum. If they do manage to board us, they're bound to pinch our most prized possession.
But what about petty Officer Austin?
Oh, no, I wouldn't worry. Even if we are in international waters, I think it's safe to say he's duty-free.
Cannons are loaded, Admiral Rimmer. Do you want me to show me load, sir?
No, stand aside, Master Hill. At your age, I doubt you'll shoot it past the end of your turret. Give the men the order, Captain Stevie, and let's not form a scrum.
Oh, this is it, fellas. On the call of my whistle, give them all your resilience.
It's blow, Stevie, not suck.
Oh, gee. Sorry, Rolfie.
Let's show these gentlemen our broadside.
Well, I'm not sure, Rolfie, this is the time to be doing moonies.
Fire at will, boys. Fire at will, boys. Everybody, fire at will. Let's give these cops a gun for their back.
Oh, gee, Rolfie. I've not heard such foul language since my fucked pals about John Bateman's mo- strength.
Yes, as I said, Stevie, perhaps you will make Rear Admiral. You clearly talk through your ass, and you're certainly full of shit. Oh, come on, Stevie, put your chin into it.
I've been hitting my resilience! Oh, I do wish I was back at the museum. Kick to the corner for Toby King! No more than three people in the lifeboat. That could be considered a scrum. Oh, where's Greg Inglis and Carl Fitzpatrick when you need them? Oh, I do believe we're sinking. Oh, Stevie, you are such a...
The Mutiny on the HJ. It came, dear listeners, after I'd been depressed watching the Wakefield game, and I just couldn't bring myself to listen to the episode. So I subbed it out to somebody else to listen to. One of our listeners, Simon, had been in touch with me and just said that basically I'm his favourite because he likes a good spreadsheet. So I sent him this week's episode of Mutiny on the HJ and said, can you give us a review of this? And would you like to know what he came back with? He came back to say, hiya Sam, I really enjoyed the podcast and my mate who put me onto it says Mutiny on the HJ is his favourite bit.
Ah,
I don't know why.
Good on him.
He said, I don't know why.
Good on him.
As for me, after listening to this week's episode, I had to do something to take away the pain from my ears. So I emptied a box of the kids' Lego onto the floor and walked around on it barefoot for an hour. Cheers, Simon.
Jesus Christ.
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny, but if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
Right, okay. As I mentioned earlier on in this podcast, I'll be covering a lot of what I said. I don't know what I said now. But anyway, this is unexpected. This week saw another cancellation of a Warrington Rugby League match.
Postponement.
Unexpectedly. Oh, yeah. Anyway, it was unexpectedly cancelled with 7 hours to go. So poor old Dave Munro, who was on his way, found out and had to turn around. He said that he'll be putting in a claim for compensation for his fuel. As Dave's electric, that'll be £1.76, or he'll accept half a pint out of court. So that's all right for Dave. Anyway, this is the second in as many weeks of cancellations. The total matches across the league... Yep, that's right. The total matches across the league is 21 games this season that have been cancelled. Although 6 have been replayed, so they could be classed as a postponement. Now, fans have questioned, why do the stars of rugby league have problems with COVID, unlike other sports like football, who do not have the problem? But I think this is down to rugby league operating through the pandemic that we've had in the last couple of months. And footballers have been on holiday during this time, and they do tend to live in 10-acre plots with security away from everybody else. But so there is probably that reason to it. But when you look across the piece, you know, 21 matches cancelled so far, and an impending lockdown
postponed
on the horizon. Again in September and October, in the continuation of COVID cases, is it no longer going to be expected or unexpected that we may see an extension or even a completion of the season? Who knows? What do you think? Do you think we'll see an extension?
I think anybody who's buying a ticket for Magic Weekend is doing so on a wing and a prayer.
Why is that?
Because you're buying a ticket for the weekend and your team might not be there.
Yeah, that is a point. Just going on the this thing, Warrington Guardian reported about the Catalan thing. News on the game that would not go ahead as scheduled was confirmed just 7 hours before kickoff, with the Dragons about to board their flight to England. 4 COVID-19 cases were detected in the Catalans' camp, essential staff, in the 24 hours prior to the game. So does that mean they were boarding and checking the flight 24 hours before takeoff?
I think they must have had a PCR test the previous day, and it takes nearly 24 hours for those results, doesn't it?
Okay.
That's all I can assume.
Right. So I had a look at the essential staff, and I've got a pick here. They've got 14 essential staff at Catalan Dragons, according to their website I'm using. So let's just pick 4 people out of the staff and see if you could decide whether they could have still made the trip. So just pick a random number, Sam. 1 to 14.
12.
So actually, well, 12. You've gone straight to the top. That's Steve McNamara. So that may be a key staff member. But let's just remember all the teams, and most Catalan are the same. Thomas Bosc is the assistant coach there. So maybe Thomas Bosc could have come over in Steve McNamara. Rob, pick a number between 1 and 14.
Number one.
That's Jean-Claude Pignol. He is the physio. This is like, you can say, I can't do my French, so you'll have to go and have a look at his name. But anyway, he's a physio. Catalan Dragons also have 2 reserve physios in the team. We've got
this
Alex
is
Muscat.
Very good. This is Panorama, Alex, Dennis. Yeah. This is brilliant. Brilliant.
Alex Muscat and Ellis Ruffat are the remaining physios. So you've got a choice there if they need to be substituted. Sam, do you want to give me another number?
Ben Curry, number 11.
Oh, okay. You've chosen Jonathan Jones. He's the assistant physical trainer. We do have...
Your French accent was very good on that one.
Yeah,
French
well, it's going to be even better for the next one, because we have another trainer, Justin Murphy. So there's one. And also Paula Mathias is another assistant trainer. So there's one there. And then really, if I pick one, I could just look at the doctor. And the doctor, we've got Rob Parkinson. He's the head of the medical cell. But if we did want to look at an alternative to him not being available, Philippe Roquez is the other team doctor. So it does seem that even if you picked anybody who potentially might have had an issue, there would have always been an alternative in the essential staff to maybe take their place. And running it as a business, I'm sure they would have arranged themselves in a bubble so that that would be the case. I'll leave it there. I'll rest my case. What do you think?
I agree, Dennis. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's like the Coca-Cola recipe, isn't it? They're not allowed to travel on the same plane together. The people who have the ingredients.
So there is a point to that. Anyway, we're going to move to fails. Now, last week, Steve Price was forced to field.
Sorry, can I just interrupt just for 1 second, Dennis?
Yeah.
What time's the football start, Sam? I'm trying to watch the football during Dennis's bit, and it doesn't seem to be on. Liverpool.
12:30. It's on BT Sport though. It's not on Sky. No, it's on BT Sport.
12. So it's on now. It's on. It's starting.
Yeah, it's on now.
I'm on the wrong channel. Oh, sorry. Carry on.
Just a minute. last week, this is Fails, by the way, last week Steve Price was forced to field a chain side against Wakefield, naming a bench that included debutant Morgan Burgess, albeit that he didn't get an opportunity to play. Now, this isn't the first time that a player's been selected only to find themselves elevated to a better seat to watch the game. We all remembered what happened to Ellis Robson not so long ago, and now he's disappeared. It's been a good idea to bring him back, I would have thought, but anyway. So what is it that prevents Steve Price from using all this firepower and energy on the bench that these players offer? Surely we've heard of the, I'm sure we've heard of the heroics of Ben Curry, which you pointed out, Sam, and in playing out of position, and a few of the others, which is all commendable, and you know they didn't do too bad. But clearly Stevie has an issue with using all 17 players. And after some scientific research, I can now confirm that Stevie suffers from heptacadicacophobia.
Jesus.
Heptacadicacophobia. Or in layman's terms, the fear of number 17. Now, let's have a look at some significant things that would affect someone with heptacadicacophobia. Well, firstly, I asked Madam Boyd, and she gave me an explanation about the number 17 in the card deck. In the tarot card number 17 is the card of stars. It symbolises wishes that will come true. This is definitely promising and a good card to receive, she said. This is a card representing hope, and if it's upside down, it offers low esteem and unfulfilled dreams. It is a time to start believing in yourself. Well, clearly Stevie's not got that card because it's number 17. So, a loving podcast, we asked Sam Sankey to release £5.7 of our slush fund to buy Stevie a book. It's called The Star... It's called 17 Things You Definitely Deserve in Your Relationship, which you can get off Amazon. It's got useful hints and changes that can make your life, the quote the author says, when you settle for less than you deserve, you end up getting less than what you settled for.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, because it's 17, Stevie was probably missed that book.
Sorry.
Ironically, what? What's up?
No, carry on. Carry on.
Oh. Ironically, it's only got 16 pages. So there you go. Some other things at 17. Chlorine has the atomic number 17, derived from salt. It's extensively used in disinfectant. A heptacadacagon is a 17-sided figure, much like Professor Broomhead. And there's also a famous poem by Shakespeare, Sonnet 17. And it is said in this poem that... something's coming up on the screen. Oh, you can turn that off. It's said in this poem back from William Shakespeare, it's trying to persuade the addressee of sonnets, the fair youth, to sire an heir, which clearly, maybe not sire an heir, but what Steve is missing there is the ability to appeal to the youth. Again, 17. So, again, Steve's phobia of 17 does not give him the ability to draw on these great works like Shakespeare. He completely misses the point and reveals in his heptacophobia, is the cause of him not using 17. So this is the real reason why Steve Price can't use all 17 players. When asked about the phobia, Steve Price was unable to comment an expressive view, and that's probably from the fact that you need 17 muscles to smile, and there's 17 muscles in the tongue.
No. Oh.
That's my fails.
So what's the score in the football then, Rob?
It's 1-0 to Liverpool.
For fuck's sake. It's always football, isn't it, with you two south of the river? I think this is the thing that we need to discuss on the podcast, is that, you know, us genuine rugby league fans don't give a hoots about football, but you two, when is the football on? Let's play football.
We're rounded sports people who take...
Rob's rounded, but it's nothing to do with that.
How fucking about dare Bruce you? Stone. How dare
just,
you?
Just so we can compare and contrast the sport we prefer against other sports that are
out there. What a load of bullshit.
I ordered a mountain bike today online, and I've ordered the wrong one. I ordered a women's lilac mountain bike. It's cost me $400.
Oh, dear. That's a shame.
Click and collect tomorrow. So I think the missus might have to.
Mind you, you need a crossbar that's like a female one, so your bollocks can hand down, can't they?
No.
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
OK, it's on to two predictions, this time out with Wire playing Huddersfield away on Thursday the 26th of August. And then 4 days later at home to Saints on the bank holiday Monday with this match live on Sky. First of all, are we going to play these two games? I mean, do Huddersfield even want to play? They don't by the looks of things. They're down there on 0.33%. I mean, they can't make the top six. They've got Buckley's chance of that. So
they're going to want to play, aren't they? We're going to be the ones who don't want to play, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, we will win. Oh, is that away? It's away, isn't it?
It is away, yes.
We're not going to want to play that. We've got COVID cases for sure. We're not playing that.
It's away. It's away, and it's against your bogey coach, bogeyman coach. And I'm getting a bit concerned because I think we were playing some decent rugby, but it's all got a bit disjointed
George Williams came.
Not the other... Yeah, play 1 week, don't play the other week, with no rhythm. Two difficult games, these.
Are you going to the game, Sam? Are you going to go and watch the game at Huddersfield? Will you be? That's not that far away,
If the weather's decent, I'll go to Huddersfield. It's only 45-minute drive.
Have they opened up the hotel since? Is that open again now, or is it still a shithole?
I don't think so, but I tell you what, I can report back if I do go, can't I?
45 minutes. Where from? The outskirts of Leeds.
No, from here.
Bullshit. M62, midweek.
I suppose it is tea time, isn't it? Maybe I go on the train. I'll see.
Dennis, are you going to venture over to Huddersfield? Are you going to be in the
north?
Depends
what day it is. I'll be in the north until Wednesday, but I'm not stopping up any longer than that.
Well, given if you look down on your piece of paper, Huddersfield away on Thursday, the 26th of August.
Okay, then. So let's just say the game is going to be played, right? Because we didn't do the predictions last time out. So the game's going to be played. Sam, let's have a prediction from you. Huddersfield versus Warrington.
Warrington win in a scrappy game.
Dennis?
Similarly, I agree. Win, but it won't be anything special. It'll be a scraper.
I concur. Okay, Saints at home. Bank holiday Monday. You two are probably not going to be able to focus on the game because you're both going to be that pissed by the time you turn up. Are we going to win this one? I mean, Saints, I mean, they're home and dry in second. They can afford to lose it. It's not going to affect their stats too much, Sam, but
no.
We seem to rise to the occasion.
But they both don't want to play, because this is my other one. I mean, if they roll these tickets over, Christ almighty, we'll need to play this next match in bloody Old Trafford.
Jeez. You know when you go to the fairground and it gives you those tickets out the bottom of the machine? About 300. That's what it's going to be like, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I have a cuddly toy with my 300? No, it's 472 for that toy.
I'm still coming up, Sam, even if the match isn't on, so we'll meet up anyway.
You haven't said where are you going? Where are you meeting up?
I don't know yet. We've left it till late because we want to see if the match is still on. But I'm coming up anyway.
I'll work out a few options for you, mate.
Oh, excellent.
And depending what type of food you want, or if you want food or just alcohol.
Yeah, food, food, alcohol, Let it soak in.
Very good. Sam, are we going to beat Saints?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this will be a tight game and I suspect we'd lose something like 12-6.
Oh, just really?
A low scoring.
Really?
That low scoring tight game.
Middle of summer, dry dry pitch? No, you're thinking 12. Yeah. Okay.
Saints are a dull, boring team this year, but they're not conceding any. Their defence is significantly superior to anyone else's in the numbers, but they're not free scoring. So I think we'll struggle to break them down, but they'll just edge it.
So, Rob, using your oxymoron of, summer and it should be dry, you are talking about the Northwest. Do you think we can beat Saints?
Well, Roby's re-signed, hasn't he? He's just turned 65 and he's re-signed again. I put a thing out on Twitter.
His body's going to be knackered, isn't it?
I put a picture of him congratulating him signing of basically in a skeleton. Gee, it got a reaction from the Saints fans. It's funny, isn't it, Twitter? I don't give a fuck about your reaction. Just go away, knobs. Do I think? No, I don't think we've got the pack, have we? Who have we got left in our pack? I mean, who's on?
No, they'll all be back.
They'll all be back, who's back?
Well,
who's
Philbin
back?
Philbin and Mulhern were both available. if we'd have played against the Dragons.
Yeah, so we're going to lose, aren't we? We haven't got any pack at all. Philbin's half the man he was because he's tired with the baby. Oh, Daryl Clark's back. Right. Okay.
Jack Hughes.
Who?
They were all available.
Is he? Did he play against Wakefield?
Yeah.
Did he play against Wakefield, Sam?
No, he was banned.
Oh, was he?
Him and Clark were both
banned.
Is he banned
every week?
Every third week.
Come on.
Talking of bans, despite smashing his right shoulder into the forehead of a Wigan player, or was it a Wigan player? No, a Castleford player. Tommy Makinson had his 3-game match ban dropped to just 2 games.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Bateman's not the player he was, is he? He's a shattered man after coming back from the NRL. There's nothing left of him. It's just a hollow shell now. Just keeps sort of going.
I'd let you tell him that if you ever saw him.
Well, let's not go there. Okay, that's it. So with all these postponements, we'll see you back here, well, I don't know, sometime in the future. So from a man that probably hasn't got much future in front of him, it's a futuristic, factual farewell from Sam.
All the best.
And from an old lad that's future looks bleaker than a wet weekend north of the river, it's the bleakest of bye-byes from Dennis.
Be cancelling, y'all.
I'm Rob London, polishing my flux capacitor, as it's a back to the future ta-ra from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Fuck, that's over.
Rooms full of strangers, some call me friend. Well, I wish you were so close to me. In the dark of night, those small hours, I drift away when I'm with you. Face is a wall.